No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome back in. This is the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. Missouri on SI. If you want to type it into the Google machine, we're live on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can check us out at JoeGaither6 or on the Missouri Central YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. If you just want to listen to us on your favorite podcast platform, you can subscribe to the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. This is episode number 2, technically, as we're standing alone now on the Walsh Riding Network, and we're pleased to be joined by Joey Van Zimmeren. You can find him on the Twitter machine at JoeyVZ_, covering all things Missouri and covering the dastardly Green Bay Packers as well. Joey, how's the first week of July treating you? Excited for 4th of July?
Yeah, we got a rainy day here in St. Louis and possibly some more rain tomorrow, but I wasn't planning on any fireworks shows here, so I won't be bothered by it, so I'm enjoying it.
You're not a big fireworks guy yourself? I am not. I mean, you've seen one, you've seen them all. You a big fireworks guy?
I mean, I do enjoy them. I went 1 year to the show they have at the Arch every year, which is fantastic. I live in a neighborhood where that is not allowed at all, though. My dad, when we were a kid in the old house I used to live at, my dad would just shoot off some in the driveway, but they were all like the really tiny ones, just like some fountains and whatnot. There was 1 year, I was probably like 7 years old, and my dad had this little box of a fountain. And he didn't realize he had it the wrong way. So he had it shooting directly at the driveway. And me, my brother, and my mom just ran for our lives. I ran through the forest all the way in our backyard. But we survived, and now it's a funny moment. So I guess I didn't have any trauma from that, fortunately. But nothing going on this year with fireworks.
They're technically not allowed here in Tuscaloosa either, but no one follows that. The last couple of days, you've been hearing random spurts, and I expect a lot over the weekend. My dog's been barking at every single one, so we'll see if we can keep her heart rate down over the next couple of days. I just have a issue conceptually with I'm going to spend 50, 100, 200, whatever it is, and I'm just going to light that on fire.
Yeah, I mean – I get it, but yeah, there are some people that spend an absurd amount of money. Like one of my old neighbors every year would host a big party for the neighborhood. And there was another year where he was like setting these were big ones. And he set it on a recycling bin, and that tipped over and shot directly at one of his our neighbor's house. And I was friends with this neighbor, and it shot directly into this kid's bedroom. The kid was not in his bedroom because he was at the fireworks show and probably pretty disappointed when he saw a massive crater his bedroom wall.
Ooh, back it up, Terry. Lots of fireworks accidents over the weekend. So hopeful everybody stays careful with their own fireworks. If that's what you enjoy, no judgment there. But stay careful with them. Do them responsibly. Let's talk about Missouri. We don't want to talk about fireworks the whole 25, 30 minutes right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Missouri Central. Let's talk about Missouri. And let's talk about news this week in the SEC. Two big rivals, two old rivals from Missouri's Big 12 days have now entered the SEC, Oklahoma and Texas. And a lot of the attention has been given to Texas, but maybe from the Missouri perspective, is Oklahoma the bigger addition?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Missouri, I'm just looking now against Texas. They only had, 23 games against Texas in their history. And let's see, a little over 24 wins and 67 losses and 5 ties against Oklahoma. So much more of a history against Oklahoma there. And just the rivalry and the iconic games from those matchups there. I mean, the one in recent history was their second to last matchup in Columbia in 2010. That was the first and only time Mizzou has ever had College Game Day come to Columbia, and that's what a lot of people are scheduling this year for the show to possibly come to Missouri. So I think not only for football, but also for some other sports, and Texas is definitely in this conversation as well. Baseball, softball, women's basketball even, going to be some very exciting matchups there. Missouri finished I can't remember what round of the playoffs they finished in for the softball tournament this year, but I think they finished the season ranked in the top 10. And obviously Oklahoma is just a dynasty there, winning the last four softball titles. So really going to be some great matchups across all sports. And I think, there's no concern as far as you have two really great football teams coming into the league, because this, you know, you're going to be facing that no matter what in the SEC. Week in and week out. And I think really just the draw and attention it's going to bring to more Missouri games, you have to love that. And the Oklahoma game, like I said, is going to be one scheduled on a lot of people's calendars this year. It's going to bring in a lot of economic impact to Columbia, I'd assume. And to have that year in and year out is going to be fantastic. And obviously it might affect recruiting a little bit, might have to change it up a little bit there. But it's not exactly like Missouri had this stake in SEC and Texas. Obviously they recruited there just because Texas produces a lot of good football players. But it's not like it was an area of a special emphasis like Florida has been for the past few years for Missouri. So overall, I think if you're Missouri, you got to be really excited to add two great programs to this league.
All right. So I think you hit kind of the overall right there, but I'm going to tie Missouri and Texas A&M together. Both of those schools come into the conference. What was that? 2010, I believe it was. You come into the conference and okay, you're the newbies. And for a lot of time, great. You're establishing yourself. Missouri goes to two SEC championship games pretty quickly by winning the East. And that was kind of a big, maybe a surprise to the conference as a whole. You're seeing over the last year, Texas A&M folks and Texas A&M administration and fans very, very prickly about the Texas edition specifically, because we want to be the only Texas school in the SEC. Is there any sort of, angst or consternation about, okay, Oklahoma is going to come step on our territory? I know it's not the same state with Missouri like it is with Texas and Texas A&M, but is there any sort of, oh, we don't want these schools in our conference? We left the Big 12 to kind of establish ourselves in the SEC. Well, now they're coming into the SEC and maybe they'll overshadow us. Is there any concern about these programs coming in from that perspective of, okay, we've carved out our footprint now for the last 12 years, but now two big programs might come in and step on our territory?
I wouldn't say so. I think Missouri has already, no matter who was going to be added, it was already dealing with these annoying comments that they don't belong in the SEC. I think so much of the animosity that came from Texas A&M was obviously the in-state rivalry there and how serious people take their football down there in Texas.
All right. And so, all right, they're coming in and great. I think from a journalist, from a sports media perspective, that it's going to be a great, great thing. How are the Missouri fans? We'll just talk about it kind of a separate thing right there, because obviously I think we agree that from a content perspective, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But Missouri fan base, I'm not as plugged in as you are. How are they receiving these two programs? And then we'll move on.
Right. I think Oklahoma for sure has already started the wars on Twitter. It just because the fact that they're on Missouri's schedule. You know, you saw it really pick up when Missouri recruited Caden Green. Just layers to that story. I mean, first, you have the fact that he is from the Kansas City area, goes to Oklahoma for his freshman year, and then it goes back to Missouri now. So that really started to fan the flame or, you know, get the flames going. And, you know, I know Oklahoma fans put bad reviews on Caden Green's dad's business to voice their displeasure with his decision. So I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining, especially looking at the 2025 schedule, to have Kansas and Oklahoma on the football schedule, reigniting both those rivalries for 2025. I am very excited for those games and the atmospheres we're going to have.
All right, so we will table that. We will get readdress that probably in a couple of weeks when SEC Media Days gets kicked off. Why don't we hypothesize about SEC Media Days? We're going to see Eli Drinkwitz, duh. Who are maybe some of the players that we might be seeing in Dallas?
Yeah, Missouri is obviously, you know, I'm sure just like any other school, pretty selective with these days on they want to have the best representations of their program. So they obviously want stars, but more than anything else, they just want somebody that's not going to say anything that might get them in trouble or give any other team any bulletin board material. So I think the players that would come to mind would be Brady Cook, who's very great. Let's see. You might see Luther Burden. You might see Theo Weasley, like the three Theo out there quite a bit. Say defensively, possibly Toriona Pride, the Clemson transfer, although they might want a more established name and face, someone who's been with Missouri for a few years. You might see Chuck Hicks. He's a great public speaker, you know, and a linebacker, not exactly the biggest star, but started quite a few games for them last year with the injuries they had there. Which for sure, I would say Brady Cook, Theo Weiss, and then we'll see the third player they want to throw out there.
Well, that's going to be on the Tuesday, July 16th. We'll be hearing from Eli Drinkwitz along with Kirby Smart, Brent Venables, and Josh Heupel. Oh, they're just going to keep stoking the Missouri-Oklahoma rivalry, having them both on the same day down there in Dallas, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to lean on Joey Van Zimmerman to, you know, help me interview some of those guys and help me interview some of those characters. Make sure you follow Joey Van Zimmerman at JoeyVZ _ for all his Missouri content. You can follow Mizzou Central at MizzouSI on the Twitter machine. Let's talk about defensive backs. We've talked about defensive line. We've talked about Brady Cook a little bit. We've touched on the wide receivers. They're going to be awesome. The defensive backfield, well, I'll just ask you before would you agree or disagree if you'd like? Is that the biggest question mark on this year's Missouri defense?
I would say so. Just because at pretty much every other level, they have some sort of continuity. And they do have a few returning guys in that room this year. You know, they do have Drayden Norwood, who saw quite a bit of playing time last year. Tristan Newsom was more so kind of like a star linebacker safety hybrid. But yeah, specifically cornerbacks, you know, at safety, they have Travion, I'm forgetting the last name.
Seeing Trevez Johnson. I'm seeing Joseph Charleston.
Yes. Trevez Johnson at safety. He was Florida State transfer, I believe, for the 2023 season and saw quite a bit of playing time. He wasn't the main starter, but they had a role for him in 2023, and I'm assuming he'll be the main guy at safety this year. Joseph Charleston, another guy that you mentioned who's a returning starter there. But yeah, it will be interesting to watch. I think Drayden Norwood is one guy that you're going to see out there early and often. That was one thing Drinkwitz talked about quite a bit, of the benefit of experience, and that those guys are going to be favored early on. And I think Troy Pride as well, the Clemson transfer that I just mentioned, you're going to see him out there early as well, just because of the experience he has. They have some exciting new faces coming in, but I think those two guys are going to be your main two guys you see on the boundary. And then it'll also be interesting to see if Corey Batun, the new defense coordinator, has some interesting packages for them.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. Corey Batun and his impact coming from South Alabama. The South Alabama Jaguars had really a top 20 defense last year as a whole, but the coaching staff really kind of split up with Kane Womack coming to Alabama. So Corey Batun lands in Columbia, replacing what, Blake Baker? Blake Baker going to LSU. Batun comes. He's going to be a first-year guy, and I just want to know what kind of scheme he's going to be operating in. Is he going to carry over the Blake Baker scheme? And really the impact on having your defensive coordinator coaching the safety specifically, and how, okay, if this is the biggest area of question mark, well, we're going to have our lead coach kind of already addressing this question mark. And, you know, I think safety is almost like the quarterbacks of the defense. So Corey Batun, just kind of the relationship between, oh, I'm the new defensive coordinator, I'm implementing my scheme, what is my scheme, and, okay, how I'm going to get my safeties that have somewhat looked like a lot of experience. You see Richard Senior, you see lots of experience on the back end. How do you think this is all going to play out with the new defensive coordinator?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans: a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, I think Eli Drinkwitz wanted a pretty smooth transition from Baker to Batun. I think the departure of Baker was somewhat unexpected before LSU opened up their wallets. And when Baker was hired down there in Baton Rouge, he was the highest paid college football assistant coach. And I think that still holds. I think his contract was a little over $2 million per year to be their defense coordinator. And so, and that came in January when LSU hired Blake Baker. At the Cotton Bowl, there was rumors going around that Baker had a few job offers. I'm sure he could have gotten a head coaching role at a smaller school if he really wanted to. But he said at the Cotton Bowl, he went up there and said that he would be staying in Missouri. He tweeted the clip of from the Wolf of Wall Street of "I'm not effing leaving," and that did not hold up to be true. So when hiring Batum, it was a pretty quick process for Eli. He interviewed a few guys, but Batum runs the same scheme as Blake Baker, and so I Eli talked about it, and obviously he's going to go out there and say that he wanted to hire the most important thing was a person. And I believe him in that. But I also don't doubt that the fact that Batum runs a pretty similar system to Blake Baker, the 4-2-5 scheme, played a part in it as well to have that continuity. Because when you have a team like this where you have a lot of recurring production, maybe not so as much on the defense, but still wanting to take advantage of the talented roster that you have right now, you don't want to add too many new factors into the equation here. And it does seem like it's going to be a pretty similar scheme to what they became used to with Blake Baker with a few new wrinkles. I mean, one thing is the Joker position. Blake Baker's scheme focused a lot on the star, which I talked about a little bit ago, of the safety linebacker hybrid, pretty much a dime backer. And Dalen Carnell played that for Missouri for most of 2023. I think that role, you'll still see it in Corey Batum's defense, but he also likes the Joker role as well. Which is basically just outside linebacker that will drop into coverage more often. So other than that, though, I don't see there being too many big differences between their schemes. Early impressions from spring camp that we heard, players all seem to like them. I guess the one real thing of substance that we got from spring camp of hearing from all these assistant coaches is how much Batum places an emphasis on communication between the players on the field. I think that was the main thing they worked on defensively as a group during spring camp. Spring practices are really a lot for individual development, but the one thing they did work on as a group was really improving on that communication, especially on the back end with the safeties you mentioned. That's where Batum's most of his work came before he was the defense coordinator with safety position. And just making sure when you're working with safeties in the secondary as a whole, obviously a lot farther apart than two inside linebackers are from each other. So making sure they're yelling and being clear with it, so there's no communication errors with that back end.
All right, so the defensive backfield, especially at Missouri over the last couple of years, you look back to 2021, you see Tyree Gillespie, you see Josiah Bledsoe get drafted in 21. In 22, Caleb Evans gets drafted. Nobody in 23 out of the backfield. But then in 24, this most recent draft, Enos Rakestraw, Chris Abrams-Drain, and Jalen Corliss, you're seeing a lot of Missouri Tigers go from their defensive backfield into the NFL. And I just, want to get your thoughts on really, obviously it's not LSU and it may not be Alabama with defensive back you, but goodness gracious, Missouri is really putting a lot of DBs into the NFL. You look at this year's class and there's going to be a lot of guys that are eligible for the draft. Mm-hmm. How have these previous draft picks really impacted what Missouri's been able to do and maybe has impacted Toriano Pride's decision to go from Clemson to Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, to have that track record with a specific position is huge. And I have no doubt Toriano Pride looked at that and said this would be a good tool to go to for defensive backs here, and he'd get to see the field quite a bit. I know Drinkwitz kind of deflected. I asked him specifically about that. And not specifically what you can expect, but really just the impact of having the look of these draft picks and what that does for you in recruiting and through the transfer portal as well. And he really deflected all the attention to the work that those players put in. Undeniably, that's going to help them in the future here. They obviously had a great impact on Mizzou football, now it's going to be a big test to see if they actually have, I want to say, like a powerhouse or anything, but a great ability to develop cornerbacks, defense backs in general, in the future as well. And I think already you're kind of seeing, even if these guys won't be the biggest stars this year, guys that in a few years could be the next great SEC cornerback and safety as well. I think Marvin Burks, who was a true freshman last year, he saw the field sparingly, especially during early on in the season due to injury. And he was thrown out into the fires as a freshman and looked pretty solid. Excited to see him play this year. One of my breakout candidates for Mizzou football this year. So I do think they'll continue to kind of produce these cornerbacks at a high level here.
All right, let's talk about the cornerbacks coach specifically, Al Pogue. We want to give a shout out to Al Pogue because he's following you on the Twitter machine. So if you're watching us, Al, we love your work. You've been doing great work at Missouri. You can join the show anytime, Coach Pogue. What do we know about Coach Pogue and his work? He's been in Missouri since February of 2022, and really he's coached cornerbacks in a lot of other places at Troy. He was outside linebackers coach at Auburn and West Virginia. But he's really been a part of this, big part of the resurgence and really kind of the building under Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, to me, Coach Pogue really seems like the great mix of a coach who can really connect with his players, can be a great teacher, but also a fantastic motivator. You see him on the field always kind of yelling at his guys in a positive way. But then he also mixes that really well with being a great teacher. You know, you can't fit too well into one box. You can't have just Dan Campbell's level of energy and ferocity on the field. You also need to know what you're talking about as far as X's and O's. So all the players really seem to like him, talk really high of him. I know his son, Nasir Pogue, is also on the team. So there's that. But a few times we've gotten to talk to him over the past year. It definitely seems like he understands both aspects of it, to be a motivator and then also someone who can explain concepts to his players.
All right, let's start to wrap it up with Joey Van Zimmerman right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. Make sure you follow Joey Van Zimmerman at JoeyVZ _ on the Twitter machine. And make sure you follow Mizzou Central at Mizzou SI on Twitter as well. All right, 4th of July coming up tomorrow. What's Eli Drinkwitz putting on the grill? And really, I mean, correct me, but I'm just seeing Eli in big old white dad tennis shoes with tube socks up, you know, halfway up his calf, and just kind of flipping burgers. How do you envision Eli Drinkwitz celebrating 4th of July?
Man, I would be interested to see his outfit for sure. I'm sure he's got some good American gear. I know the one thing that I remember was last year when I was first starting at Mizzou, they landed a commitment from William Swinery, the top three player in the class of 2024 rather. And in the reaction video, the video where Eli Drinkwitz jumps into the arms of his assistant, he's wearing these camo shorts and camo Crocs. And I remember seeing that and being like, wow, that is a heck of an outfit, but also very fitting and unsurprising for Eli Drinkwitz. And then 2 days later at a Mizzou event, he's wearing that exact same outfit. So I'd be interested to see what he's got in his closet for 4th of July. I would agree with you. Seems like might have some hot dogs on the grill. Might be celebrating Brat Summer, not only by listening to the Charlie XCX album of that name, but also by throwing some actual brats on the grill. And he's also might be pretty happy this week, and he's got some recruiting commits coming up. You have tomorrow on July 4th, wide receiver Javon Boggs. Then you have on Friday another wide receiver from IMG Academy, Donovan Ologbode. On Sunday, you got offensive lineman Keaton Jones. On Monday, defense back Charles Bass. So it could be a pretty busy and exciting holiday weekend for Eli Drinkwitz.
Well, we hope it is. I think that, I think I can see him, the USA polo. He's going to have probably an American flag polo. I'll go with the camo shorts, but I'm still sticking with white shoes and high tube socks. Visor, visor for Eli with the Missouri Tiger on it. Yeah, we gotta have the branded content. But he's gonna be. I can see him grill mastering his party. Not gonna let anybody else touch the grill. That's Eli's domain. And really, I love that about him. I think he's one of the most authentic coaches in the SEC, and that's what makes him so much fun to me. Let's get you out of here by asking you, what's your go-to 4th of July food?
Man, I do love some brats on tomorrow. I know we're just having some barbecue. So probably just a pulled pork sandwich, which is all I need. And I'm very excited for it.
Make sure you follow Joey Van Zimmeren on the Twitter machine at @JoeyVZ_. There's going to be a lot of recruiting news down the pipeline at Mizzou Central. You can find it on the Google machine at Missouri on SI. You can find it on Twitter at Mizzou SI. Joey, appreciate your time, man. Let's do it again next week.
Of course.
Absolutely. That's Joey Van Zimmeren joining us for the Missouri expertise on the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. Make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Amazon, or you can watch us weekly on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We're going to get out of here for the week. We will follow this Missouri recruiting news. We'll see how many of these commitments Eli Drinkwitz gets, and maybe we'll get a photo or two of Eli celebrating the 4th of July.